howdy, folks, and welcome to Melody Ranch with Gene Autry.
I'm back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend. Where the long ones have a cool down the
road. Yeah, to meet all the folks here at Melody Ranch. Johnny Bond, Pat Buttram, the Cass County Boys, the Pinafores, Carl Cotner, and yours truly, Charlie Lyon. But right now, here's the boss man himself, America's favorite cowboy, Gene Autry.
I'm packing my grip. I'm leaving today. I'm taking a trip California way. I'm going to settle down and never more roam. And make the San Fernando Valley my home. I'll forget my sin. I'll be making new friends where the west begins and the sun set in. 'Cause I've decided where yours truly should be. And it's the San Fernando Valley for me. I think that I'm safe in Satan. He will be waiting when my lonely journey is done. And kindly old Reverend Thomas made us a promise. He will make the two of us one. So I'm hitting the trail to the cow country. You can forward my mail, care of RFD. I'm going to settle down and never more roam. And make the San Fernando Valley my home. I think that I'm safe in Satan. He will be waiting when my lonely journey is done. And kindly old Reverend Thomas made us a promise. He will make the two of us one. So I'm hitting the trail to the cow country. You can forward my mail. RFD. I'm going to settle down and never more roam and make the San Fernando Valley my home and make the San Fernando Valley my home.
Well, thank you, dear friends and neighbors, and welcome once again to Melody Ranch.
In the sunset, way out on the sea. Oh, carry my loved one home safely to me. He sailed at the dawning. All day I've been blue. Red sails in the sunset. I'm trusting in you. Swift wings you must borrow. Make straight for the shore. We marry tomorrow. And he goes sailing no more. Red sails in the sunset. My loved one, home safely to me.
Thanks there, folks. Many thanks. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, why, shuckins, Mr. Artery. I liked it myself.
Oh, you did.
Matter of fact, sort of reminded me of one time back home. The Chapultepec's Women Choir give a recital out in the town square there.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
How was it?
Well, I'll tell you, my Aunt Blanche, she was sitting out on the front porch listening to the music and the singing, and right beside her was Uncle Clyde, and he was half asleep listening to some crickets a-chirping sort of in the distance.
Uncle Clyde was probably just as well off.
Oh, he is smart, all right.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Aunt Blanche was sitting there all nice and contented, like admiring the women's choir singing. Finally, she turned to Uncle Clyde. He was still listening to the crickets. And she says, "Ain't that pretty, Clyde?" Uncle Clyde snorted once or twice. He said, "Yeah, just think. They make all that noise just by rubbing their hind legs together."
Your Uncle Clyde. Your Uncle Clyde sounds like a real solid citizen.
Oh, yeah, he was solid.
By the way, Butterham.
Yeah, but... Yes,
I've been meaning to ask you for a long, long time. How did you ever happen to stray away from home and come all the way out in this part of the country anyway?
You really want to know?
Well, no, but it'll help kill a little time here. Go ahead and tell me.
Well, it might at that. Now, well, you won't believe this, but my coming out here was all come about on account of because me living next to the railroad tracks.
Now, what's living next to the railroad tracks got to do with your coming all the way out here to California?
It's very simple. Mm-hmm. Uncle Newt, that's my uncle, he never would let me walk across the tracks. So, instead of crossing them,
yes,
I decided to walk around them.
That's what I call really using the fore part of your head, son.
Yes. Incidentally, speaking of my Uncle Newt, did I ever tell you about the big flood we had down home there?
A flood?
Yeah, I told you about it, didn't I?
Well, I guess you did, yeah. Go ahead and tell me some more.
Well, good.
I'll correct you if you make any mistake.
Yeah, fine. I was staying with Uncle Newt. That's my Uncle Newt and Aunt Agnes at the time. And one morning, the water from the river flooded the house clean up to the windowsill. And, well, so just then, a rowboat come along to rescue us.
Yes.
And just as me and Aunt Agnes started to go out, all of a sudden, she spotted Uncle Newt's hat floating back and forth. Back and forth, across the field, back and forth, his hat.
Holy smoke.
Back and forth.
What did she do?
Nothing. She just looked down and she said, "You know, your Uncle Newt sure is stubborn. He's going to do his plowing, flood or no flood."
Makes no difference now what kind of life they'd have. I'll get along without you now, it's plain to see. I don't care what happens next, for I'll get by somehow. I don't worry, 'cause it makes no difference now. It was just a year ago when I first met you. I learned to love you, and I thought you loved me too. But now that's all in the past, and I'll forget somehow. I don't worry, 'cause it makes no difference now. After all is said and done, I'll soon forget you. Although I know that it will be so hard to do. Let things happen as they will, and I'll get by somehow. I don't worry, 'cause it makes no difference now.
Well, thank you, neighbors. Many thanks.
Yeah.
You know, over a period of the last 10 years, I've probably been asked one question more than any other. And that question is, how and when and where did I get champion? Well, sir, here, to the best of my knowledge, is the answer. To begin with, it's hard for me to remember just when Champ first came to me and came to be my horse. Seems now like he's been with me all of his life. But there was a beginning. And to my best recollection, this was it. One fall day many years back, a bunch of us cowboys were out on our yearly wild horse roundup. But what made this particular roundup important wasn't the size of the herd. No, it was a beautiful stocking-legged chestnut stallion that stood out from the rest of the horses like an icicle on a summer night. Funny thing, too, I knew right then and there that that was my horse. In fact, the next morning, I was up at dawn, all ready to start breaking. Easy now, boy, easy. All right, Johnny. Try and throw a saddle on him while I hold this rope. Watch it, he's wild.
Okay. Easy, fella. Easy now. Just hold still a second while I put this little present on your back for you. Like that.
Good boy, Johnny. Easy now, fella, easy. I'm not going to hurt you. You and I are going to be friends. Just wait and see.
Okay, Gene. All set.
Right. Now you come around here and hold the rope while I get on him. Don't turn him loose till I tell you.
Don't worry about me letting go. Just try and stay on yourself.
I'll do my best. There, now, easy, fella, easy. Remember, I'm your friend. Okay, Johnny, turn him loose. Well, sir, I've ridden a lot of wild horses in my life, but never anything to match that one. The first time, he threw me before I even had a chance to get the saddle worn. So I got on him again. This time, he spun, kicked, dug dirt, and then he jumped what seemed to be about 10 feet in the air. As he did, he spun again. This time, kicking his legs higher and coming down with the force of a pile driver. But when he did, I wasn't on him. Finally, though, a little over a week later, I managed to get him quieted down to where I could actually ride him without having him buck me all over the place. But as I said before, it was worth it. For now, I knew I had a real horse, a one-man horse that would be with me till he died. That is, I thought I did. 2 days later, I found out I was wrong.
Gene, your horse, your horse is gone.
I figured the horse would head straight to the place we saw him first, in a valley way up in the foothills called Sandstone Mesa. And sure enough, when we got there, we found a whole herd of wild horses. But mine wasn't among them.
No sign of him here, Gene. Matter of fact, as far as I can tell, none of them other three horses that are missing are in that herd either.
Sure doesn't look like it, Johnny. Well, come on, let's try over in Wilderness Flats. Maybe he's over there.
Right.
Get up, boy. Come on.
The boys have scoured the whole section, Gene. No sign of any horses around here.
Did they look clear down on that dried-up riverbed?
All the way. Look, don't you think we ought to head back home? Maybe he'll show up there.
You can go home if you want to, Johnny. I'm going to keep on looking. Besides, I've just been thinking. Maybe that horse didn't run away.
Huh? What are you talking about? I know he ran away. He ain't back at the range, so he must have run away.
That's not what I mean. I mean that maybe my horse and those other horses didn't leave of their own accord. Maybe they were stolen. For the moment, the stolen angle was only a hunch. But the more I thought about it, the more it made sense. I had no idea where to start looking, so I tried another angle. I remembered that years back I'd done a big favor for a slightly shady Mexican character by the name of Arturo. As a matter of fact, I'd saved his life in a gun battle down by the border. 3 days and 60 miles later, I finally located him in a deserted, third-rate saloon in the dirty border town of Sorrento.
Well, hello there, Arturo.
Caray, Senor Autry.
Hey, is that you? Is it really you?
That's right, Arturo. How'd you been?
Some days good, some days bad.
Oh?
You know how that is. But always, Senor, remember what you tell me. No stealing horses, no breaking the law, huh?
Well, that's good, Arturo. Glad to hear that. But that's not what I've come to see you about.
Oh, well, what, amigo? What?
Well, I just want to get a little information from you. That is, if you can give it to me.
If I can, you shall have it, senor. Arto has never forgotten what you do for him. What kind of information you want, eh?
Well, almost 2 weeks ago, 4 horses were stolen from my ranch. 3 of them I don't care about. But one of them I do. He was my personal horse, Arto. I just broke him, and I want him back.
But, senor, I don't know nothing about that business now. I forgotten all about that.
Look, I know you had nothing to do with actually stealing him yourself. But I thought maybe you could give me a line on who did.
I'm sorry, senor.
Okay, Arthur. You can't. It's good. Look, if you hear anything, let me know, will you? That horse means more to me than anything else in the world. Thanks for your trouble.
Senor.
Yeah?
Your horse, senor. He's a chestnut stallion with...
Arthur! Arthur! You all right?
Senor?
Take it easy, old boy. We'll get you to a doctor right away.
No, senor. It's too late. Listen to me. Your horse... Miller...
Arthur!
Hey, you! You playing the accordion? Here's some money. See that he gets the best, will you? He has no family, and I was his only friend. I'll be back later.
Now I was more determined than ever. Now that the man I was looking for, I not only wanted for horse stealing, but for killing my friend as well. I remembered what Arthur had just said as he died. He mentioned a man named Miller. The next morning, 18 miles outside of town, I found a horse dealer by that name.
I'm sorry, cowboy, but I can't recall a horse of that description coming through my stables. Of course, I buy and sell mighty fast these days. He might come back in, say, a week, though. Maybe he'll have showed up by then.
Yeah, maybe he will. Well, so long, Mr. Miller. Thanks for your trouble.
Oh, don't mention it. Sorry I couldn't help you out.
As I walked toward the door, I looked around Miller's makeshift office. I remember wondering whether or not Miller was telling the truth. And then I saw something that made me darn sure he wasn't. Because there hanging in a corner was a fancy hair bridle. The same bridle that I'd left on Champ the night he was stolen. The same bridle I'd made with my very own hand. That night I was back at the Miller stables. But this time I wasn't there to ask questions. Not in this stall. I wonder how many of these horses have been stolen. Hello there, Blackie. Good fella. No, you're not the one I'm looking for either. I wonder if... That you, boy? Is that you? That is you, champ. What have they done to you? You're all beaten up. Well, you're bleeding.
Here, let me put this around your leg. That'll help. Then we'll get you out of here.
I wouldn't be too sure of that, cowboy.
Miller. Why, you dirty, stinking horse
stealer. Don't come any closer. I'm warning you, Autry, or I'll give you the same thing I gave your pal Otto.
Shooting's not going to stop me, boy. Now drop that gun.
Look
there, chump. Well, I'm going to give you the worst beating you've ever had in your life.
No, please. Please don't hit me again.
Stand up, I said. Stand up. Okay, if you won't stand up.
No, will you? No, please.
This is for me. And that's for my friend Arthur.
I'll do anything you say. Just don't hit me again.
You're a coward, Miller. A yellow coward. Frankly, I wouldn't want to dirty my hands hitting you again. Besides, out in this part of the country, the law has a special way of dealing with guys like you. Come on, champ, let's get him into the sheriff. And then, boy, you and me are heading for home. So, folks, that's how I came by champion. Since then, he's never left my side. course, he's quite a bit older now. We've ridden an awful lot of trails together. But that stocking-legged, blaze-faced stallion is still the most loyal friend I ever had. So here's to you, old boy. May all your pastures always be green.
Pastures white with clover for you, oh faithful cow of mine. Hurry up, old fella, 'cause the moon is yeller tonight. Hurry up, old fella, 'cause the moon is mellow and bright. There's a coyote howling to the moon above, so carry me back to the one I love. Hurry up, old fella, 'cause we gotta get home tonight.
Good friend, that seems to be the last rung on the old ladder for this Melody Ranch party. But we've got another swell get-together lined up for you at the same time and over these same stations, so try and join us then, won't you? Meantime, this is Gene Autry asking you to keep thinking of us until we're back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly gentle wind. I'm back in the saddle again.